Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Wednesday. There is so much going on again around the world that it's really hard to keep up with. It's accelerating, just like we said. Yesterday was another accelerant to the times that we're living in as President Donald J. Trump took the podium alongside Bibi Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, and unveiled the plan. And then this morning, Jared Kushner on Fox and Friends, again, unveiling the plan and giving it time to, you know, kind of get in there and marinate a little bit in the minds of men and see if it can't be a game changer and a changing of the tide. And it's happening so fast. It is absolutely amazing. And what's funny is so many people are really jumping on board with this whole idea of what's going on in the world today. We're going to get into it just a little bit. We're going to continue to unpack some things. I'm waiting for my beloved brother and dear friend Daniel Seckham to call in from Australia. So Daniel, whenever you're ready, let's get going. I believe that Daniel has a very unique ability to unpack a lot of these major events, these topics. We're talking about FEMA camps again. We are seeing just a resurgence of many topics that were spoken of years ago. Do you know, I've learned something about Bible prophecy and truth. It may have been spoken, you know, a decade ago, and then just gone silent. And yet later on, it resurfaces again. And that is, again, in accordance with Bible prophecy and what Jesus taught about a seed, that a seed has to go into the ground and then it has to die. And then in the future, it will begin to produce. And so a lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak a prophetic word and it will be there in seed form, and then it is planted in the earth, and it seems to disappear. It goes away. It dies only for a few short moments later to begin to produce as it breaks forth through the earth, and it's only a tender little, you know, sprout of some sort, and then eventually it grows up to be a great big oak tree where it has its finality, and we seem to be there again. You know, last year around spring, we were talking about the Amos 8 prophecy. And, you know, that was there was a resurgence of events going on in the world again. We are getting so close. And it's like the Holy Spirit just won't let things go away. And it is important that we talk about them once again. So as soon as I hear from Daniel, I'll bring him on the line. In the interim, you know, here's a confirmation, for example, just as a minor confirmation to what's happening. There is an article out of Prophecy News Network, which is very valid, and I want to read it. And it goes this way. In 2017 and 2018, most Americans were generally feeling pretty good about the future, and interest in prepping plummeted nationwide. But now things have changed. All of a sudden, demand for prepper properties is absolutely soaring. And this is driving up the prices of rural homes all over the nation. In fact, in some of the hottest areas, working class families have already been completely priced out of the market. Meanwhile, luxury home prices in the heart of New York City have fallen to the lowest level in 6 years. Many are deeply concerned about the upcoming election. Many others are alarmed by all the other crazy stuff happening all over the world. But whatever the motivation, it is undeniable that an increasing number of Americans are seeking to flee the major cities right now. And case in point is, years ago, we've been on radio now for nearly 20 years, I guess, maybe, well, yeah, 20 years. And back then we were talking about people fleeing the major cities. And, you know, it's always the same way. And we've used this analogy many other times in the past. And the analogy, but it's a true analogy, the Jews in Germany. Do you know that before the Adolf Hitler Nazi regime came to power, that there was a voice of one crying in the wilderness in Nazi Germany telling the Jews what was coming? And we are told in the historical data that some of the Jews that heard the message they heard resonated with what they knew intrinsically within themselves, and they responded to the message, get out of this Germany that it's coming. There's an encroachment. The bars are coming. There's a snare. And what they did was they took all of their wealth and their family, whatever they had, they sold everything and bought diamonds. And they took the diamonds and they sewed them in their clothing. They got on ships and airplanes and they fled Germany. Many of them came to the United States of America. Well, time went by. The remaining Jews stuck around because life was good for them. They had beautiful homes in Germany. They had a good economy among themselves. They were the bankers and the business people. And yet the voice came again, get out. Get out. And some of them, as the reality was dawning, basically fled with nothing because it came so fast. Now, the others had already left. They took heed. But now it was coming so fast, they didn't have a lot of time to do all this converting and buying and selling of their property. And so they basically took what they could and fled. The others, well, they kind of saw the signs, but again, it was too difficult for them to really make a big move. And after all, you know, we've got friends over in America or somewhere, you know, we'll be okay. And they weren't okay. The bars came, the snare was set, the trap released, and the people got caught, and 6 million Jews were killed in the death chambers of Nazi Germany. That is what history has told us. It's a great analogy in this sense, very sad in its reality, but the analogy is, how long have we been hearing? And years ago, many years ago, when the message began to come through to the American Christians about what was coming in our country, we're going back, go back 20 years ago. And we heard the voice of the Dimitri Dudemans and the David Wilkersons and the Mark Hitchcocks and others that were out there warning America, don't go in this direction. And then you go back 20 years ago and the idea of fleeing the inner cities of America was going forth. But the majority of people thought, well, that's absurd. That is absolutely ridiculous. And now, since the time of that warning, many people have remained exactly where they are. People have not budged. Some people took it upon themselves to respond to the message, and they left, and they started a new life in rural areas of this country. They moved into the mountains. They went into different country places like Tennessee or Missouri or wherever, and they began to, you know, build their lives in a more subtle place, not in the major metropolises and the big cities. And, you know, New York City on 9/11/2001, for example, was an idea, was a preview of what would be happening to the big cities across the land in the days ahead. But most of the people decided to stick it out. Things will get better. And they've been watching. But as they've been watching, waiting for things to get better, things have not gotten better. Things have gotten worse. And now, and what I could refer to just about anything you want to about things getting worse in 2015, go back to 2008, go back to 2006, go back to any direction you want to, and you could see that things haven't gotten better. Now there's a push with President Trump to make America great again and to pull us out of the swamp and to pull us out of all the darkness and the things that are going on. But the resistance is so powerful that there's a struggle. And yet the voice of the Spirit has continued to cry out, get out of the inner cities. Well, people have been slow, and now we're reading this article where there's a soaring drive in the nation for people to get out of the inner cities. So again, is it a last call right before the big things hit? Will people still have opportunity to shift and get into a more rural area and to be led by the Holy Spirit to go be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now? I think it's rather important. And so I wanted to share that article with you. Let me see if our brother Daniel has gotten to us yet. I sure do hope he has. And he has not. So Daniel is in Australia, and he has not joined us yet. And I was really hoping that he would. So we'll continue to wait for him. But again, what I'm sharing with you is out of the Prophecy News Network about the demand for prepper homes or places outside of the major cities. There are other things that are going on in I want to see if Daniel's there. No, he's not. So there are some other things that are going on as well in the So let's see if I could do this then and bring this back up. Here's something to talk about, okay? I'm going to let that sit for a moment. And I guess the bottom line to sharing that bit of information about this soaring desire and the prices of land in the rural areas growing while prices in New York City and luxury homes is diminishing. It's like somebody's getting an idea, even among the wealthy, that maybe living in the inner city is not the place to be. We better take our wealth and maybe put it in a more safe place. And it is, again, because today he said it right here. Let me just continue in this article just a little bit. There seems to be a growing consensus that our society is rapidly steamrolling toward a nightmare. And again, this is Prophecy News Network. This is where we get pure good news reporting, okay? And a lot of people are purchasing prepper properties while they still can. I knew, the writer said, that conditions were shifting, but I was stunned when I saw that even Realtor.com had posted an article about this growing trend. But today, Americans en masse are again preparing for the worst. And communists are just about the only thing not on their lists. What is? Terrorist attacks, a total economic collapse, perhaps even zombie invasions, or maybe just a complete societal breakdown after this November's scorched earth presidential election. In other words, these are the things that are now moving the masses within our nation. Whichever camp, realtors say, the new dropouts are not crackpots and often include affluent professionals whose run for the hills has boosted rural land values and started to change their property market. So I've had hedge fund managers and billionaires that have made purchases, and they all have concerns about the direction of the economy and social stability, said John E. Haynes, president of Retreat Realty in North Carolina. So we listen to these articles, and it's pretty amazing when you stop and think, people that have been led by the Holy Spirit, who had the spiritual foresight to discomfort their lives years ago to go out and prepare, are no longer now in some mad rush. As a matter of fact, people who have prepared years ago are poised and positioned beautifully to probably be in a position of making their places of refuge even better than they were before. And I don't want to get into all the details right now, but you know, while people are making a mad dash at the moment, and the election is what, 10 months away? November's not that far down the road right now, and things are coming so fast in Bible prophecy. So this is very interesting and very telling. Listen to this. This I thought was very interesting. That same Reuters article identified Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming as three of the states with the hottest property markets. Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. I have friends that purchased land in Idaho years ago, way down the road ago, right? But listen to this. It has gotten to the point where even some of the biggest celebrities in the country are very eager to grab a slice of rural life. For example, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian just purchased a second extremely large ranch in Wyoming. Well, to each his own, and everybody's got to be led by the Spirit, right? But mostly, and by the way, when we were 2 years ago in July on our trip to the Teton Mountains, we noted that there were massive ranches at really good prices in Wyoming. I just don't know if Wyoming for this moment is exactly where to be. Just be led by the Holy Spirit, right? I guess it's better to be in a huge ranch in Wyoming than an inner city. At least it's the beginning place, right? So then, mostly this trend is being driven by preppers, survivalists, and those that want to own an off-grid property. And the following comes from a recent NPR article. Now, before I go any further, again, I want to check and make sure that Daniel has not jumped on the line here at any point, because it's really important we grab him. Nope, he's not there. And I don't understand why at 7:15 this morning he asked if we were going to be on the air. I responded in the affirmative, and I'm not seeing Daniel yet. So we will continue to wait for him to join us on the air. So let me get back to this article where we read, let's see. Here's the NPR article. Welcome to the world of sustainable survivalist real estate. There's a growing market for this kind of off-grid property. Mondale figures over the past 6 to 8 years, sales of these survivalist properties have risen by 50%. He said, Mondale, it seems like over the past few years, there's just this need. I don't want to say panic or frantic, but people feeling the need to be able to have some place to go. Wow, is that true? There is truth to that statement. We meet people all the time. We came from California, right? And we know people that we visit that have that under burden in their soul. They just feel it. But it's very difficult, like Lot. Remember, Lot was in Sodom, and the angels came there to told him to get out, and he lingered because there wasn't this, you know, he had built his life there. He made a decision years earlier to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was beautiful, and to build his life, and his wife and his daughters and his son-in-laws, even though the place was wicked, they didn't have this, let's get out of here right now. They had to be literally forced out by the angels. And the only reason that happened is because Abraham had made intercession. But there are a lot of people lingering even while they know something's not right. And what happened yesterday, isn't this amazing? Let me just shift for a moment. Yesterday, the Peacedale, And the peace deal was dividing up the land, giving the Palestinians land that God in his covenant to Israel never should. And yesterday, a 7.7 massive earthquake hits right near Cuba and Jamaica, and it was felt in Miami, Florida. And in a few days, the Super Bowl is going to be being played out in Florida. Every single time America touches Israel in the dividing of land thing, something happens. There is a book written about the pattern of every single time. Under Bush's administration, they caused the Jews to flee Gaza. They were refugees on the television. We saw the refugees leaving Gaza. That very week, Katrina hit, and America was known as a land of refugees. And there is a pattern of historical data every time you mess with it. Now, this is not President Trump's deal. This is Jared Kushner's deal. You need to know that. Jared Kushner was on television. He's giving much glory to the president for this incredible deal, but it was not written up by the president. It was written up by Jared Kushner and Benjamin Netanyahu, okay? That is factual. But the funny connection is a 7.7 earthquake is felt in the very state where a Super Bowl is going to be played, where the president lives or has Mar-a-Lago. So again, we're just going to connect a few of the dots, okay? No big deal, no problem. But listen, it says in this article, over in Idaho, let's go this way. The real estate agent, Teresa Mondale, has been in this game for a very long time, and she has never seen the market as hot as it is right now for land, for people prepping, right? In fact, some of the prepper properties that she had listed sell for more than $1 million. Despite the remoteness of these homes, they're not backwoods shacks with sagging metal roofs. Some of her listings sell for more than $1 million if there's a lot of land and if water rights are included. The one with the helicopter pad is a spiffy two-story log home with a wraparound porch. It has solar panels and inside a backup generator, luxury bathrooms, and a kitchen with granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. What are they saying? The wealthy people are making this move, and they're trying to make it as convenient as possible. Listen, you could go and spend millions of dollars, but you have to be where God tells you to be. This is the Holy Spirit's mercy and grace upon a people. Now, getting back to Lot, the very day that that place was going to be destroyed, they were forced out. They took nothing with them. They didn't sell their goods and convert it to diamonds and then flee. In fact, Lot was of such a mindset that he didn't want to go where the angels originally said. He wanted to go up into the mountains, and that turned out to be unfortunate. He got out of the destroyed city, but while he was in the mountains, his two daughters got him drunk and had sex, and he brought forth two alien nations that are still a trouble to Israel today. So just because you're going to get out, you have to be careful about going where your brain tells you to go, and you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's an important fact. Okay. The angel said, go here. He said, no, we need to go here. So they said, okay, we just got to get you out of here. So he took them. And then of course the negative stuff happens in that place. So if you're in the wrong place, even though it's outside the burning city, things will happen over there that are not good. So you have to be in the right place. Hallelujah. What a biblical example, right? What a great allegory. Now, let me check, because I'm going to keep doing this until I see my brother on the air with me. Let me see if Daniel is here yet. I'm looking for that number coming all the way from. Nope, Daniel is not with us today. That is a bummer, because I know what happened yesterday when President Trump, Bibi Netanyahu laid forth the plan. Let me ask you this. Have we not been saying by the Holy Spirit for a while that President Trump is a provocateur? And that he is, I've made up my own new word, by the way, provocator. He's a provocateur and he is an accelerator, that he is accelerating everything. So let's take just a brief look, because I don't want to just repeat the news that's out there. I want to get into the biblical news, and I want to share a very important prophecy with you that we talked about yesterday, okay? Powerful. We're learning so much right now, and this is so fun. I have to say, I have not had more joy in my spirit getting into the Word of God. And let me tell you what the Holy Spirit told me last night. I have to see La for a moment. I'm in bed last night, wake up around 1 o'clock in the morning, don't go to bed until after 3:30 in the morning. We're up, I'm studying, I'm looking at things, I'm just moving through. And here's what the Holy Spirit told me, okay? Let's just one brief Selah moment here. He brought back to my mind out of nowhere, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if I were to describe the conversation, it would be something like this. Vincent, even if you understood the entire Daniel prophecy, and even if you understood the entire book of Revelation prophecy to detail, if you had it mapped out and you got it, you opened it up, it's there, you understand it. If you do not have charity in your heart, agape, love, you are nothing. Now, I just want to balance what we're talking about with this concept for all Christians, because our program has to be designed to equipping the saints for the last days. And I do know that Jesus said that in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will wax cold. That's devastating, because without love, we are nothing. We are sounding brass, tinkling cymbals, gongs banging around, right? And we love prophecy. We love, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where the desire to read the book of Revelation and 2 Peter 3 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about end time prophecy and the prophets of old. I mean, it is such a thirst in my spirit. It's been there for so long, and it's so enjoyable to dig in and unpack and look at things. It's wonderful. But the admonition last night in my heart was, if you don't have agape love, and I asked this question in my mind when I heard the scripture, it's not intended to create an idea that is contrary to seeking wisdom in Bible prophecy. It's not that at all. There's nothing wrong with searching out the matter. In that same passage in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, that is religious zeal at its finest. Or here's another one, because we think charity is all about giving. If I give all my goods to the poor, but have not love. So I started thinking, well, what is this love that you're talking about? It would appear to be loving to give all your goods to the poor. It would appear, and now, is there anything wrong with giving to the poor? No. Is there anything wrong with allowing your body to be burned and not deny Jesus Christ? No, but people could do that religiously. Muslims blow themselves up for their God, for Allah, right? So there's religious zeal, there's I'm ready to give, but there's the absence of this love that is being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13, that without it, nothing matters. Nothing. So I'm thinking about this because I'm enjoying Bible prophecy. I always have. I love teaching the Word of God, breaking it down, getting into it. I have a thirst for it, and I've spent years doing it. But without love, if I knew it all, and I don't, but if I did, it would mean nothing if I don't have love. What is love? The love that he's referring to. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not puffed up. It does not envy. It is not jealous. It hopes all things, believes all things. It endures all things. This love that was referred to in 1 Corinthians 13 is charity. It is the agapeo. It is the affectionate, caring, unconditional love for God first. There's a love for God, not just the knowledge of God's end time prophecy, I mean, God lays it forth for us to search it out, but it's kind of like Peter when he's on the boat and he doesn't want to go out there and he catches a lot of fish, right? At that moment, Peter could have said, wow, the master is going to make me a rich man. If I follow the principles of the master, I could become a wealthy man and my successful business of fishing is going to be great. Look at this. But instead, he jumps out of the boat, swims to shore, kneels before the master and says, depart from me. I'm a wicked man. Jesus touches him and says, don't worry about it. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Peter's heart loved the master, not what the master could do for him. So the master lays down all these wonderful ideas about prophecy and end times and all these things to search out. And if we ever love that more than the master himself, that becomes a problem. Now, what you love most is what you give your time to the most, right? So again, we could go and give everything we have to the poor and say, I've got religion, I've got religious zeal. But if the motivation, and here's what I boiled it down with, what was going on with people that knew all prophecy, gave their body to be burned? It was all rooted in themselves. It was always a motive for self. Somewhere in the equation of their body being burned, figuring out Bible prophecy, giving everything to the poor, everything, they could speak with the tongues of angels. Somewhere within that equation, it was always self. And the love that was spoken about in 1 Corinthians 13 was the selfless love. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to allow it to go to the stake, but I'm not looking for admiration. I'm not looking for men to applaud me. I'm not looking for reputation. I'm laying it down. And if nobody saw it, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm laying my life down to the Lord. I'm going to seek out Bible prophecy so that I could unto the Lord. So when I find it, I'm going to glorify the one who gave it, who's bigger than it. And then if I give everything I have, I'm not going to look for men to see what I'm doing. I'm going to give with charity, with love, with liberality. I'm going to do this as unto the Lord without any selfish intent for myself. This is the only thing I can understand, that the self was completely wiped out in all. So give your body to be burned. Don't allow, let your head be at the chopping block and don't be afraid, but do it unto the Lord. Give all you have away, but do it unto the Lord. Speak in tongues as angels, but do it unto the Lord. No Bible prophecy, search it out, but do it unto the Lord. That's what I came up with. And so I'm thinking this is the right way to go in all that we do. We have got to remember that love is the end of everything. True love. Now listen, true love, no doubt, is sacrificial, because if we're ever going to define love, then we need to see Jesus on the cross, right? Like this, hands stretched out. He's not protecting himself. Love. This is it. Now, in the last days, as I said, the love of many will wax cold. While they're finding out Bible prophecy, while they're speaking in tongues of angels, while they're giving everything to the poor, while they're giving their bodies to be burned, their love has been lost, and we cannot allow that to happen. In some way, we need the cross to slay our selfishness, that everything we say and do. Now, that's a big work. We can't do it, but the cross can. Christ can. The Holy Spirit can lead us to the cross. And that love is loving what is unworthy to be loved. It's loving what nobody else will love. I know it's an amazing thing, honestly, but it's also a very dangerous thing to think that because I know Bible prophecy and I figured it out, that somehow that validates my eternal life. It doesn't. In fact, it's meaningless without love, because without love, we're not going to be with the Lord. And when the love of many waxes cold, the salvation is gone. And this is dangerous. And somehow what we need is a baptism from heaven to come upon our hearts to circumcise us again. We need the sharp knife of the Holy Spirit to cut away the thick skin on our hearts that creates an environment of tenderlessness. The hardness of the heart is a dangerous thing. And sin, anytime we sin, it brings a hardness of heart, and we don't even know it. If there's secret sin going on in our lives, oh man, what we're doing is just setting ourselves up for a hardening of the heart. You listen, you sin willfully, right? Hardness comes. You say, oh, I'm sorry. But there's got to be a process of dealing with the heart, the hard-heartedness, the thick skin that came upon the heart. It can't just be, I'm sorry, I won't do that anymore. It's a labor. And, you know, it's a concerning thing, and every pastor on this earth that's pastoring God's people needs to be preaching this message, I believe, that, you know, this is just a love walk. This is an absolute love walk, and I want to know the truth, and so do you. I want to know it. I want to get involved in it. For example, yesterday we were talking about Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. I had an absolute blast just learning myself as I'm going. The Holy Spirit teach, right? And I'm imparting what I'm learning, and it's wonderful. And then all night I was listening to someone else present it. And I thought, wow, they really do have it. This does begin. And he brought up excellent points that from the time to rebuild Jerusalem, not the temple, is back in Nehemiah. It happens in 445. But what he does, he puts the numbers together. That 62 weeks plus 7 weeks, or 69 weeks times 7 years, and then he multiplied it by 360 days because that's the biblical calendar, not the 365 days, which is a solar calendar. And when he put it all together, it showed up perfectly from the time that the commandment was given to rebuild Jerusalem, the wall and the street, the city, to the Messiah would be 69 weeks. And the math works perfect to the Passover, April 6th. Passover, Jesus is doing he's coming to the ministry. He's there. And then right after the 69 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. I mean, the numbers were perfect. And then he said what we said yesterday, that the last week is set out for the last days. The only difference was, and I want to share this, the only difference was he said at the end of the church age, right before the tribulation, the seven-year period begins, the rapture of the church will happen. And what he used was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the restrainer. He said that the Holy Spirit was the restrainer. So when the restraint is gone, and I want to go to 2 Thessalonians right now. He said when the restraint is gone, that's the Holy Spirit is gone, that's been holding back the Antichrist. That means the church will be gone. But is the word withholdeth really another name for the Holy Spirit? Or is there another possible conclusion? Because right after saying that, he went to 1 Thessalonians 4 again. And we know 1 Thessalonians 4 has nothing to do with a secret pre-trib rapture. It has everything to do with the resurrection of the dead. Then after the resurrection, which everybody's going to know, it's not some secret thing, then the catching up or the harpazo. All right, so let's go back and discuss in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 what this restraint or this withholdeth really is. You ready? Here we go. So in 2 Thessalonians, and now we're in agreement. Everything else, we're all in agreement. I mean, it really does work. And then to see what President Trump did yesterday is absolutely amazing. The accelerator to bring a peace talk in the Middle East, which would provoke the Arab world, and it would start a war, which goes back to Daniel chapter 9. There will be a war and into the end of the war. So if a war broke out right now in the Middle East over this deal, right? Well, during the war, another peace treaty will come with the Antichrist himself. Oh, mamma mia. It's the only thing. But let's get back to 2 Thessalonians. So here's what the gentleman used to promote a pre-tribulational rapture after an excellent presentation on Daniel 9, 24 to 27. He said that in Daniel 2, he said in verse 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, he used this. Paul writing said, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Now he said of that verse, it's the only verse he brought up, and this is, you got to stay with me on this, please. He said, the man that was teaching last night said that Paul was saying, "Now you know what withholdeth," and he was referring to the Holy Spirit withholding, that he, the Antichrist, the man was saying, might be revealed in his time. But let's go and take a look at it. Is this, because this is where the case is being built for a pre-trib rapture, okay? Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now, we beseech you, brethren," Paul is writing. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, he already wrote about the resurrection in chapter 4, and then the harpazo, the catching away of those alive and remaining, to meet the Lord in the air. He does not make landfall in 1 Thessalonians 4, nor does he in Matthew 24 or Mark 13 or Luke 21, right? And that's another conversation. But right now, Paul's now writing, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Paul already told us in 1 Thessalonians that the coming of the Lord will be met with a trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise. We who are alive and remaining will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air, will be gathered together. So he's now talking in this language. "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, what he's talking about is the doctrine of imminency. And there's a massive doctrine of imminency today, that the imminent secret pre-trib rapture is ready to go. But Paul's writing the saints and he's saying, don't go there. Don't be troubled by the doctrine of imminency of a secret pre-trib rapture. He says this in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." What day? What he talked about in verse 1, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That is the day that Paul is referring to. He said, that day of our gathering together unto the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, the one he's already explained in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and everywhere else. He said, let no man deceive you about a imminent, secret, pre-trib rapture, that the day of the Lord is at hand, right? It's at hand. He says, don't be deceived. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away, the apostasy, first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the only time the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, is when he steps into the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. What's happening right now, yesterday's deal, is wanting to give Israel sovereign control in the area where they could build their temple, which the Jews want. And because there's such a Zionist movement, many evangelicals seem to have forgotten that the temple that will be built in the Middle East is not going to be a very positive thing. It's going to accelerate the coming of the Antichrist. So let's see it again. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of his coming, when we're gathered together unto him, shall not come unless there's a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he has to come first, before the coming of the Lord. That's what it's saying. Now, what does he do? Verse 4, this man of sin opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is none other than Lucifer himself. embodied in a person. But this is the Isaiah 14 desire of Lucifer, that I will ascend to the sides of the north and I will make my throne in above the stars of heaven. This is him. This is Lucifer, who's had many manifestations throughout the history of the world. But in the last days, before the coming, the day of Christ, he will make an appearing. And he's going to exalt himself. He's going to go into the temple, which means this temple, because we already discovered that 70 AD was not what this is being referred to. This temple is going to be built in these last days, in the last week of the Daniel prophecy. And Israel's been wanting their temple for almost 2,000 years. They've been wanting their temple, and they're going to get it. But this Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to appear in the temple. Now, listen carefully to verse 5. Paul now writes to the people. And what is this all about so far? So far, this is about telling God's people, don't get caught up in a pre-trib rapture or a doctrine of imminency, that the day of the Lord's at hand, and everybody's going to have a secret vanishing point. He says, no, these things are going to have to happen. That day of the coming of the Lord is the focus here, okay? That day, the coming of the Lord is there. But first, there has to come this Antichrist and a great falling away. Now look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul's writing to the people again. I told you about this. Verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who? The Antichrist? No. The whole context is about the coming of the Lord. And one of the things that's holding back the Lord from coming, which the church was looking for, is the falling away, and the man of sin must be revealed and go into the temple and begin the greatest tribulation on the face of this earth. Then the Lord will return. This scripture in verse 6 has nothing to do with God holding back the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist holding back the coming of the Lord. He has to come first. Now, the word withholdeth there simply means to, well, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at it. It's the kateko, and it means to hold back. So something's holding back the coming of the Lord. The people were thinking the Lord was coming, but he said, wait, there's something's got to happen first before he comes. Something's holding it back. It means to restrain. It means to hinder. Okay. Now, let's look at it further. Let's go a little bit further, because this is probably going to shake some theology, but that's okay. Look at verse 7. So let's confirm verse 6 one more time. Now you know what's withholding the coming of the Lord, the resurrection, and our gathering together unto him. Now you know what's withholding the great falling away, the man of sin being revealed, going into the temple. Now you know what's holding back, that he, Jesus, might be revealed in his time. Now you know what's holding it back. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. It's been at work since the beginning of time, right? The mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's letting? Who's the spirit of iniquity? Satan's been in this world from the beginning of time. He is the one that's been in the second heaven cloaked, but in the last days, in Revelation 12, he gets cast onto the earth. He's got to be revealed. He's going to take position. He's going to go into the temple. He that's been letting or restraining the coming of the Lord, not because he has more power, but this is in God's economy. He that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, the one that's coming, the one that's going to be revealed, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the Antichrist is going to come. He's a restrainer. After he comes, now the Lord returns, and he begins to do his work, which you'll find in Revelation 19. But let's go on just a little bit further. Verse 9. Okay, you put it in context. I know this is intense, isn't it? But again, keep our love for everybody, for everybody, for everybody. Now, even him who's coming, now he's talking about, we just saw in verse 8 that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and the wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus, verse 8, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, hallelujah, even him, he's going to describe the Antichrist now, whose coming is after the working of Satan. He's coming with all power and signs and lying wonders. Where do you see that at? Revelation 13, in the second beast. And he has the lying signs and wonders. He makes fire come down out of heaven. And so this one is coming, right? After the working of Satan, the beast is coming with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth and they might be saved. So remember the second beast of Revelation 13, he deceives the whole world and causes everybody to worship the first beast. They're working in tandem, right? Well, he's going to have the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the second beast will be literally deceiving the minds of the masses. They're not just volunteering themselves over to Satan. They are deceived into following. Oh my gosh, this goes so deep. It's amazing. Now, what happens? The people didn't love the truth so that they might be saved. Verse 11 says, and for this cause, because the people didn't want the truth of salvation, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You see, and I would rather be deceived by the devil than to be deceived by God. If the devil deceives me, God's truth and light can set me free. If God deceives me, there's nothing left. And God will literally send a lie that the people should believe it. People will believe the lie. What is that lie? Is it the imminent doctrine of a pre-trib rapture? And everybody's believing they're going to be out of here, and then they're not, and the trap comes, and all of a sudden the love of many is waxing cold. They betray one another, hate one another, because they were never ready for the level of persecution and spiritual warfare that's coming. I don't know. But it does say this in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The doctrine of once saved, always saved. You could live the way you want to. Carnal Christianity, lukewarm Christianity, where God literally says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. I mean, all these false doctrines, the people that love unrighteousness or pleasure, they, what, more than God? They'll be damned. And then here's the good news in verse 13, but we, someone say we, are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Wow, what are we looking at here? I mean, that's pretty potent. And I do believe that we are on track with this. And, you know, it may go against the grain and somebody else may step in. And what I'd like to do in the last 7 minutes is I'd like to go to our telephone lines and ask anybody that's out there if you have any questions or comments about what you just heard. If you're watching on YouTube, you could write a little chat and ask the question. But I believe by the grace of God. Now, remember, if we figure out all this Bible prophecy and we've come to a revelation, if we don't have love in our hearts, real love, not sloppy agape, but genuine love, which is a selfless love, it means nothing. We may have gotten it. We got the prize. We figured it out. But it's not a means of salvation. Salvation is walking with God in righteousness and the cross slaying the enmity in our own flesh. I don't know. I wonder if hard times hit right now today, if we wouldn't see the great falling away of men's hearts and the love of many waxing cold, betrayal, that's all connected to 2 Thessalonians. I wonder right now if people would turn into greed and covetousness and selfishness. I got to get what's mine. I've got a call coming in from our dear friends in South Dakota. I'll take it. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, about this people that were, because we're entering into the time period we are in, and there is a great deceivement that is going on, and we should never be deceived into thinking that anything the world can give you is worth selling your soul for. Because Satan, he tried to tempt Jesus Christ this way when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory and said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That was in Matthew 4. People are going to sell out then. Is that what you're telling us?
I think so. And, you know, it's obvious that when things have collapsed, like during Katrina and different times, people resort to violence. They resort to stealing. They resort to unpleasant conduct toward others. I happen to believe that the societal collapse that everybody's talking about right now, that the Word of God has declared, and people are, you know, the seed form of this message went into the earth long ago in this country, and it's now producing. And, you know, it starts out as a little stem and then it grows, it gets leaves, but then the fruit comes on, but it's not yet ripe. And so we're moving closer and closer to the fruit of the seed of these end times. And in this country, the things that have been spoken in prophetic form are about to be fulfilled. And yes, people are not ready, I don't believe, but we need to get ready and we need to utilize, like we said yesterday, everything that God has given us to prepare. And This is kind of where we are right now, but maintain above all things love in our hearts, even to the exclusion of everything. Give everything away for love, but don't give love away for everything. And I think that's probably the standard we need to be living by right now.
Yes. So David, even the psalmist, he knew this in his heart. Everything that he that was attained here in the natural, but what he really was after in his lifetime and journey with God Almighty, that was to have the likeness and the image of Christ in his life.
Yes. And that was the cry of all the apostles. And that is the new covenant reality, is that the entirety of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to build up God's house. While there's a house being built in the Middle East, God has an eternal dwelling place in the hearts of men, the ecclesia, the true church. And that temple, that holy of holies in our hearts, has to be completely, thoroughly cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb, by the washing of the water of the Word. Curses need to be broken. Deliverance needs to happen. Minds need to change. Renewing, inward transformation, glorification. It all is what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. And as long as the love of God continues to be shed abroad in our hearts, I think we'll be okay. And to have both working, the love and knowing what time it is a beautiful blessing from God. It's his favor and kindness to us to know, to see and understand, and to walk in the love and the agape and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hey, in about 1 hour, I'm going to be moving over in, and thank you for that call, Kathy. I'm going to be moving over, but I have to stay an extra minute because my beloved wife, Patricia, just called into the program. I want to know what she has to say. Good morning, Patricia. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Very provocative, the things that are being said. Wow, it's a time like I have never, ever imagined would come this soon. But it's here, and we are here with it. Are you hearing me correctly? Are you hearing
I'm
me?
I'm hearing
right?
you. I am, but we've got about 10 seconds left is the only thing. But go ahead. We'll go
it's
a little extra.
Okay.
Just for you, because you
okay.
deserve it.
In the 10 seconds, I will want to remind the people that are listening that what President Trump and his son-in-law has done or is working on doing is definitely already prophesied to happen. We must remember 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Again, I want to emphasize, and they shall not escape. So we're going to see an event very soon, which will either convince the body of Christ that this is where we are scripturally or not. I just wanted to bring that up to thought.
Well, you did an excellent job, and I know tomorrow you'll be having your one-hour conversation, and I want to say to everybody on, and thank you, Patricia, for that final thought. I want to say goodbye to our friends on YouTube. Right now on omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion that will help you, as the temple of God, get your heart cleaned up, be delivered, set free, get some truth downloaded. A great group of people are right now on omegaradio.org. Goodbye on YouTube. Goodbye on Blog Talk Radio. And here we go right now, omegaradio.org, with a roundtable discussion. Enjoy and God bless.